Confession is good for the soul and the brain. It makes us more whole. It's time we told ourselves the truth about some things and connected the dots. The dots in here, reconnecting the parts of our brain that have been disconnected or dissociated from each other due to trauma. And correspondingly, the dots out there, realizing the extent to which we have long been subjected to systems of control that deliberately stifle our human potential. Now, I'm not creating an us and them, but I think this is something we need to talk about and be aware of. Divinity has given us free will to explore all aspects of consciousness, even the extreme opposite of divinity. That's one of the choices we have, to completely separate ourselves from our source. There is a Luciferic energy at work in the world. That's nothing new, but the outlines of its invisible hand are becoming more visible as increasingly desperate attempts to create chaos, fear, scarcity, and division as justifications for increased control. This dark, corrupted aspect is devoid of love and denies our divinity and our sovereignty. In fact, it hates divinity. And it seeks to turn us against one another and even to turn you against yourself. The solution is to wake up, connect the dots, and remember that you are divine. And you have the power of love. But how do we make this a living reality rather than just an idea? We can fortify ourselves by promoting intimacy with our true nature, what I call sacred intimacy. Sacred intimacy heals our inner separation so we can reconnect with the love that we are and the truth that we literally have everything within us already to live in love, abundance, and radiant health. The best things in life really are free, and so are you when you free yourself of dependency on the systems that seek to enslave your spirit. Chaos, fear, and scarcity consciousness cannot affect you when you know you have everything within. You don't need what the world is trying to sell you, nor can you be bought. You become bulletproof and unexploitable. It begins with confession, a healing, sacred intimacy practice that integrates all the disparate, exiled parts of yourself, leading to unity, integrity, and wholeness within. And as within, so without. The world needs you now. I'm happy that you're joining me for this new series in the Grace Space. It might be a little confronting, but we're going to explore free sacred intimacy practices that can deliver you to yourself, free you to your highest potential, and make you a lighthouse to others as we go through the labor and birthing of new earth. Take a deep breath and remember, there's a power breathing you. This is your space of sanity in an evolving world, where we learn about spiritual law and how to apply it to our lives in a way that is practical and life-changing. This is where we remember truth to make the world a better place, one person at a time. I'm Claire Lautier, inspirational speaker, teacher of the technology of transformation, and a certified life mastery consultant and spiritual growth mentor. Welcome to the Grace Space. We have a lot of healing to do. Part of waking up is having your eyes opened to things you can't unsee. It's connecting the dots in a bigger way than you've ever connected them before. Connecting the dots in yourself and connecting the dots out there. Perhaps it's because in waking up, you move from me to we, from a focus on and an obsession with your own little life to a larger context with an awareness of the interconnectedness of life and the mirror of reality, how it's just a reflection of you. Your field of vision widens and expands to include the whole planet as a collective consciousness, and then you become aware of your cosmic inheritance as well. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Things come into your awareness that have always been there, but you just couldn't see them. Not only does the little room you've been living in become suddenly larger, but the light is a lot brighter. And this means that you can see the dirt and the dust bunnies, the dead bugs and the spider webs, the mold and the disrepair. It can fill you with dismay and even horror to realize the state of the room you've been living in. You think to yourself, I can't live like this. I have to clean this up. I have to get this house in order. This, of course, occurs on both the personal and the collective level. We've been speaking of the need for purification quite a bit recently, and this need for purification is reflected by the state of the world we live in, the condition of the planet, and our own individual state of toxicity. There's a resonance between these two things. Even if you consider yourself to live a healthy lifestyle, virtually no one on the planet can escape the toxic burden that we live under. Polluted air, treated water, genetically modified and pesticide-laden food, the immense suffering of animals raised for meat, radiation, EMFs, bioweapons, nanoparticles, human trafficking, mind control, on and on and on and on. Every domain of life has been infiltrated by some kind of corrupting influence, and we can't turn a blind eye. Even if we do, we're still affected by it on some level. Part of waking up is becoming aware of the systems you've unwittingly participated in because you were born into them, and the disheartening level of corruption in the media, in our medical, educational, banking, agricultural, and political and governmental systems, and even down to the world of entertainment. It may be easier, in quotes, to live in denial of this fact because realizing the extent of it is initially overwhelming and depressing, frankly. But if you don't wake up to it, you're just a pawn in the game. It's not about left or right anymore. It's not about religion or skin color, sexual orientation, gender, socioeconomic level. These are merely distractions designed to keep all of us divided, bickering, and distracted. The only question for you and me now is, do I want to be free? Do I want to be free, a glorious, divine, and sovereign being, as we humans were designed to be? Or will I default to a life of slavery as a mere shadow of a human being? You are a very noble creation. Your potential is literally infinite. We have no idea how much we're capable of. We have no idea how much of our brain we're not even using. We have no idea that the effect of all of this indoctrination, insidious indoctrination, has limited our horizons. We must now realize that an unseen hand is operating and has been for a very long time to disempower people, disconnect them from their source of power. That's what disempowerment is. For the purpose of keeping increasing control and power over the masses. The indoctrination begins very young. I remember being told as a child that they put fluoride in the water to fight tooth decay. At least they did in the United States, and I'm sure there were other places in the world where they did the same thing. And I remember also sitting in the dentist chair as a child and receiving a stinging, burning fluoride treatment on my teeth every 6 months. Little did I know, trusting child that I was, that what that was doing to my brain. I'm sure the kindly, well-meaning dentist didn't know either. Among other insidious long-term negative effects on your health, I later learned that fluoride calcifies the pineal gland, calcifies it. In other words, it turns it into stone, basically. The pineal gland is our God gland. It plays an important role in our interface with divinity through mystical experiences. It's like a receiver transmitter, like a divine radio. It even has microscopic crystals in it that receive and transmit these very high frequencies of light and information. When it's healthy and fully activated, we experience ourselves as one with the One. A human being who's one with the One is not controllable, is very dangerous to the establishment, is very dangerous to systems of control and domination. If that's the agenda, it's best to cut people off from the possibility of experiencing their own divinity. Don't you think? You know, this dentist thing is on my mind because I recently went to the dentist. And this was a new dentist, a person I'd never seen before, where my mother lives in Florida, a young guy, a young dentist with a young family and everything. So I was happy to meet him for the first time. And out of the blue, unsolicited by me, he asks me what people think about fluoride in Europe, because he knew that I live in France. And I said, well, they don't put it in the water. I said, you know, I don't really know what the perception is of fluoride, but my perception is that I don't want it anywhere near me. In fact, when I arrived and I met the dental hygienist, I looked at her array of tools. I looked around at what was on the table and I saw a little thing of paste. And I said, is there fluoride in that toothpaste that you're going to use to clean my teeth? And she said, yes. And I said, well, can you find me an alternative? Because I don't want that. And she's like, no problem. We understand. She said it very quickly and apologetically. And so maybe he heard that. And so he asked me what the perception was of fluoride. So I told him what I think. And I could see his young face kind of shadowing over with concern. I said, why don't you come over? Come over to the holistic side of things. I said, there's so much that we know now that we didn't know before. I said, you know, you can offer people an alternative at least to receiving fluoride. It's a toxic chemical and a poison, and that's been proven. And I'm sure you don't want to harm people. And he said, I know, it's just that the system, you know, it changes our insurance. If we don't offer that, we don't get our insurance, and the whole way that everything is set up, it makes it harder for us. I said, I know, you're inside a system and you were educated inside that system, and it makes it hard for you not to operate the way that you've been told to. He's like, yeah. I said, listen, I'm not here to turn your whole world upside down. Although, I don't know, maybe I was. I said, but you know, as a start, maybe you could just offer people an alternative. And that encounter felt significant to me because it showed me the degree to which people, good people, are indoctrinated into the various systems, whether it's dentistry or medicine, you know, but they are not given the full picture. They're not taught how to think. They're taught what to think. And there's a big, big difference. And then they find themselves caught up in the system and unable to operate outside it without taking a big risk that they're going to be ejected by and taken down by the very system that brought them up. Now, I don't want to give too much airtime to the dark side of life because what you focus on grows, but we do need to be aware of what's going on so that we don't get ground up in the gears. There's this quote that I recall from the book of Matthew in the Bible when Jesus says, "I am sending you like lambs into a pack of wolves. So be as wise as snakes and as innocent as doves." And to me, that means be discerning, be as wise as snakes, know what's going on, don't be a fool, but be as innocent as doves. In other words, don't close your heart, don't become cynical, don't fight against, right? Keep your heart open, be innocent still, like a child. That means open and receptive to all the signs of life that are coming your way. It's an amazing balance that you start to achieve as you grow spiritually. You become wiser, more discerning. You're going to be nobody's fool. You see what's going on and you see through the BS. But that doesn't mean that you close your heart or become oppositional. You keep your heart open and spacious, and your mind as well. The interests that wish to see this agenda of total domination and control through are devoid of love. It's a Luciferic energy of reversal that represents the extreme of separation from divinity, and the main practice is inversion. It turns everything the opposite of what it actually is. And it is always manifested through, or we might even say possessed, beings on the physical plane. It's an energy field. So I'm bringing this up for several reasons. One being that this element on the planet is really tightening its grip now. And we need to sharpen up and not play into the game of divide and conquer that it uses. And it's a great opportunity for us to unite in love and transcend historical and learned enmity and our own reactive personalities. It's also a great opportunity to refrain from demonizing the very interests who are squeezing the planet by falling into an energy of hatred, fear, or battle. The latest desperate attempts to impose control, which we can expect to see increase this year, especially through censorship and the eradication of nuance in media spaces, just shows that the ascension of frequency really is happening. I mean, it's really happening. People are waking up all over the place. The energy is going up, right? So this is all just a sign of the times. We are awakening. Things are changing very rapidly. They're getting harder and harder to control. And that's why things out there may get considerably worse before they get better. So this is why we need to take care of ourselves physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. The pressure's on, and we need to be mentally lean, clear, and awake. We need to stand up for our humanity and double down on love big time. We need to love and honor ourselves and our human potential deeply so that we can allow this pressure to do what it's meant to do. Just like the coal over millions of years and tremendous pressure transforms into a diamond. We can allow this pressure to birth our fifth dimensional self, our crystalline self, instead of being crushed and disheartened and weakened in our energy field. I think it's also important to realize that part of the indoctrination that we've been subjected to since birth is an indoctrination into a deep-seated, ingrained, unconscious sense of self-loathing and self-rejection at the visceral level. It's been so bred into us that we're most likely not aware of it until we're called into a deeper level of intimacy with ourselves. That's when we realize how little apt we are to be kind and gentle with ourselves, to give ourselves loving touch, for example, or to embrace our bodily fluids and smells. I mean, if you feel a little uncomfortable or embarrassed by what I'm saying right now, there's some self-loathing in there. A lot of our relationship issues also spring from a lack of true intimacy with ourselves, what I call sacred intimacy. If you don't totally embrace yourself, how can you expect anyone else to? We want someone else to do for us what we won't do for ourselves. Give us complete, total, unconditional love and acceptance so that we can feel better about ourselves. Well, we've been talking about why that never works. Sacred intimacy is getting down into and deeply into yourself and accepting all of it. Recently, I mentioned that I would reveal and share with you some of the self-love techniques and healing therapies that I've been using to cooperate with and facilitate this intense process of purification that I've been going through on the personal level. And I've been hearing from a lot of you that you're also going through something similar, not surprising at all. I trust that if you are ripe for going all in, these techniques and therapies that really constitute a way of life can help you too. So that is where we're going to be heading in the coming weeks. And I'm going to bring in some experienced practitioners in these various modalities to inspire us and to enlarge our perspective and maybe blow your mind a little bit, maybe make you a little uncomfortable, but that's okay. I know that you're big enough to handle it. You've got an open mind. Look, the goal here is freedom. We need to understand that we can self-sustain. We were built that way. And we are not dependent on a lot of things that we've been made to believe we're dependent on. In fact, all the things we really need for joy, liberation, and for radiant health are within us already, and they are absolutely free. When you deeply realize this, you experience sacred intimacy, this feeling of wonder and awe that, wow, I really do have it all within me. It's not just a nice spiritual idea. It's a literal reality. Sacred intimacy is a term I use to describe the gradual process of getting closer to yourself. Sacred intimacy is intimacy with the sacred in you, the sacred that you are in reality. It's a feeling of being totally at home in yourself, feeling really good in your own skin, and much deeper than your skin, in all the dimensions of your being. It means that when you go within, it's a place of warmth, solace, comfort, and melting love. And what I've come to call sacred intimacy practices are self-love techniques and healing therapies that are very effective at delivering you to yourself in sacred intimacy if you have the courage and the intention to go there. I say courage because these are intimate practices that your personality might be initially a bit squeamish about. Why? Because we live with this buried self-rejection, this self-loathing bred into our bones. And even so, it's possible to fall deeply in love with yourself. And you should, because you are a beautiful being and holy. This goes beyond the persona. It's about connecting with your soul. You don't exactly fall in love with yourself. You become the love that you already are. You relax into it. You surrender to it. You yield to it. You fall back into it. You no longer offer any resistance to it. I remember David Hawkins, the great American sage who died in 2012, saying in one of his lectures once, "You must be holding a lot against yourself. Otherwise, you'd already be enlightened." That really stayed with me. You have to be in a great deal of resistance to keep out the blinding light and melting love that you are. When we talk about self-love, the assumption for a lot of people is that it's about loving the persona, like, hey, I'm not so bad. I'm going to try to accept my personality the way it is. No, I'm not talking about that. It goes way deeper than that. You are not the personality. That is not you. You are the one who is observing this human. You are that which is experiencing the thoughts and the feelings of your personality. But that personality or ego or persona or psyche, I use all those words interchangeably, is merely a collection of programs and conditioning and beliefs with a biography attached to it. You don't work on making that acceptable to yourself. It's what it is. You work on letting it go. It's a hindrance to your progress if you believe that you are that, if you're totally identified with it. It's nice to have a well-adjusted ego. It makes you a good dinner guest, but that's a therapeutic goal rather than a spiritual one. The spiritual path is about letting go of the shell that is your persona and that needs self-love and approval in a kind of directed way, like I need to love myself, which implies a duality between me and myself. Who's me and who's myself in this scenario? Who's the one giving and who's the one receiving this love or approval? There's a part of me that's seeking love and approval from another part of myself, but neither of those parts are the self. You know what I mean? The parts of you that are talking to each other, the nice voice and the mean voice, are still parts, aspects of the ego. Neither one of them is you. It's like we're playing good cop, bad cop with ourselves all the time. Sacred intimacy practices are about transcending that duality, dissolving the line that's in me somewhere between the personal self and its aspects, and their often conflicting voices, and the true self. In truth, we are one. As the veils of illusion and density begin to fall away, the personal self becomes transparent to the true self, which is effulgent, self-illumined, and radiant. That radiance begins to shine through effortlessly, just as when the clouds part, the sun's rays are immediately felt. The sun is, and the true self is. We never become anything. We're just revealed as what we truly are, always have been, and always will be. So the first practice that I want to talk about that can deliver you to yourself is, let's call it confession. Confession, a term often associated with Catholicism. I'm not Catholic and I've never been in a confession booth, but I can understand the basis of the practice, its underlying principle, no matter that it might have been distorted or weakened or used by some to instill guilt and shame and otherwise keep people in a weakened state, energetically speaking. Let me define what I mean by confession. It's like standing naked in front of a mirror and looking at yourself. Most people can't do that without a lot of judgment. We find fault with our reflection. So imagine what it's like inside. Metaphorically, confession is standing naked in front of yourself, laying yourself bare to yourself, being honest with what's really going on in you, admitting the ways that you are hiding out from the truth, evading and avoiding and piling up layers of justifications, excuses, and self-deception to avoid a painful truth. It's no longer trying to look good in your own eyes, right? Or doctoring your image of yourself to yourself. I mean, because if we can't start with ourselves, how are we ever going to relate to others in any way authentically? I turn confession into a prayer. I mean, that's kind of how I pray. It's like I sit down, I tune into whatever's going on with me, whatever's coming up that doesn't feel comfortable, that doesn't feel good, and I start talking about it to the infinite. Like, I've got this feeling that, you know, that feels ugly, and I'm upset about this, and I have an impulse to do that about it, and, you know, I just let it all come up. Whatever is ugly, whatever feels uncomfortable, whatever isn't joy and absolute relaxation is something that I want to bring up. You know, some days there's a lot to say, there's a lot to confess, and other days it's just, I'm not feeling totally at ease. I've got some fear coming up, right? And I'll tell the infinite about it. And sometimes emotion comes up with it, right? It's like telling someone, confessing to someone who you can absolutely trust, who's always going to love you no matter what you say, no matter what you are, no matter what you share and reveal, the infinite knows it anyway. So you might as well make it conscious to yourself, because then you're not creating a split inside yourself where there's all of this stuff that you don't really want to acknowledge because it doesn't feel good. And if acknowledging it is like, you know, making yourself look bad in front of yourself. No. Take that dividing line away. Just put it out there. Confess it to yourself. Confess it to the infinite. The infinite knows all of you anyway. All of the hairs on your head are counted, right? That's what that is referring to. And once you do that, the weight is lifted, right? And the temptation to separate off that part of yourself, to compartmentalize that part of yourself from yourself will dissipate. You won't need to, because you just put it out there. So it's an act of self-love and self-acceptance and turning over your problems to something greater than you for dissolution. And it works. In my confessions with myself, I had to admit that I have long had a deep need to feel special and chosen. Historically, when I have not been chosen, it's been very emotionally painful. And this has been a prominent pattern in my relationships. Over the years, I've attracted a lot of relationships with men who are unavailable, either literally or figuratively, emotionally, and sometimes both. I wanted them to choose me. This is actually the ego's need to win. I realized how many elaborate love stories I had woven around this basic animal need to win, to put my foot on the neck of the other, to have some kind of power or control over my own fear of not being chosen, of not being special, and therefore not being loved or lovable. When I looked at it bare bones, I felt ashamed. It was never about the various men or situations. These were all interchangeable. It was the theme of wanting to win, to be the chosen one, the one who was special, and that's rooted in control. Control over the inner emotional environment that results in seeking control outside. If that's going on in me, is it any wonder that there are forces in the world that seek control and domination and that I'm recognizing those? I mean, any energy that I'm aware of in the collective is mine to heal. Reality is a mirror. Whatever I see out there is a reflection of something in here. That's radical responsibility, not blame. And when I say I felt ashamed when I really revealed this pattern to myself, I should say that the initial dismay and feeling of shame and feeling of remorse subsided when I totally, deeply, and completely accepted it, let myself feel it. Then it resolved itself, right? Because that's letting go. If you let yourself feel it, you've got to feel it to heal it. This is what I always say. You've got to feel it to heal it. Then it will resolve itself. And honestly, I'm still working on letting go of this energy. By the way, what does it mean to work on letting go? I'm just going to catch myself in the act here. It means that there's still resistance. You could let it go instantly, but you won't, right? Think about it this way. If someone held a gun to your head, could you let it go? Could I let go of my need to win in this situation? Could I relax my solar plexus and breathe and dismiss it from my mind if there was a gun to my head? Yeah, I could. If someone offered you $10 million, could you let it go? Whatever that thing is that you're holding on to. If someone offered you eternal, ever new joy, which is all we really want anyway, could you let it go? Seriously, feel into something that you're holding on to right now and ask yourself the question. You'll find that you can let it go, you just don't want to. This is resistance. The ego is feeding off this energy to keep the identification with the persona alive. Once again, if we've got this going on inwardly, no wonder we see the manifestation of this same energy in its extremes out there in the world. So confession is being nakedly honest with ourselves, being willing to look at the twistedness that inhabits us, but without judgment. Imagine you see someone who's physically deformed. What does that evoke in you internally? Is there even a little part of you that is horrified, creeped out, or dismayed? Well, that means that you don't accept your own deformity on the inside. Because we are twisted in the sense that we've come far from our divine nature. One of the chief mechanisms for mind control is trauma. Trauma comes in many forms, and it gets passed down generationally. We may be traumatized inside our family. We may be traumatized by the unconsciousness of the world we were born into. But one way or another, we're dealing with trauma on the collective level and on the individual level. What trauma does is cause compartmentalization in the brain, like little firewalls that are self-contained isolation chambers. So it affects whole brain functioning, holistic brain functioning. That's what makes us more intelligent. When the whole brain is working together, and this is the entire objective of yoga, is to encourage whole brain functioning, right and left together, and movement between the right and the left hemispheres, we are more intelligent, we are more creative, we are more in touch. So trauma creates separation in the brain, right? I mean, it always comes down to oneness versus separation, wholeness versus division. And that separation makes us much more susceptible to being programmed and influenced, because we lose our continuity of thought. It makes us unable to connect the dots. The human mind is innately innocent and cannot tell truth from falsehood until we get up to a certain level of consciousness where spiritual discernment can see through the wolf in sheep's clothing. I'm not putting down the many well-intentioned individuals who work inside the various corrupt system. There are lots of good people who are totally unaware that they've been brainwashed into conformity. I was one of them. I grew up with a basic trust in authority because I was blessed with wonderful parents, but they were brainwashed too. Just like babies, we innocently swallow what we're fed, but waking up is growing up, and it takes courage to throw off the shackles. Many people are too afraid to do it because the impulse of fear is to save your own skin. If throwing off the shackles means that your sense of yourself or your livelihood is being threatened, 9 out of 10 people will try to save their own skin. But once you realize the pervasiveness of falsehood, once you see the continual and deliberate traumatization of individuals and groups through war, sickness, abuse, and so on, it's so shocking, It's so devastating that it might make you angry enough to stand up for yourself, your family, and your community. But let that anger resolve itself into an open heart. You've got to feel it to heal it. There's no need to live and act from a sense of anger and betrayal, but from a mature sense of self-responsibility. No one is coming to save us from this world. There is no Deus ex machina. There is no political leader or spiritual savior coming to do this for us. We have to do it ourselves. You save yourself by deeply trusting in your true nature, which is noble, divine, and loving. When it comes to the truth, the fear is that if we confess the truth to ourselves, about our own life, and about the world, the whole thing is going to fall apart. Well, the whole thing is falling apart. And we have to let things die when their time has come. We'll earn our freedom again when we're no longer interested in making a good impression, in looking good in our own eyes or anyone else's. Just be as you are. The risk of standing for truth is standing alone. But the more people who gather their courage to do it, the less alone we are. Start the practice of sacred intimacy with confession. Start with a radically honest relationship with yourself. Start getting closer to you by accepting everything that's there, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Feel it so you can heal it. Corruption is anything inside you or outside you that tries to deny your divine nature and wants to make you believe you are anything less than holy, beautiful, and sacred. Heal your perception of yourself, and the world heals with you. The light is growing every day. Embrace it and be who you are. And remember, darkness in and of itself has no existence. The only variable is light. Light is what exists. Light is what stands out, and it's how much light there is. That's the only variable. As the light grows, the darkness disappears. Just as it is dispelled when you turn on the light in a dark room. I'll see you next time for more sacred intimacy. Meanwhile, walk in grace. Thank you for joining me in the grace space, where you're always in the right place. If you love this podcast, I invite you to subscribe to it and submit a review.